Hello, this is David Creer with Valley Stewardship Network, and joining me today is Scott Lind. He is an electrical engineer and a volunteer with the Kickapoo Valley Dark Sky Initiative. Thank you so much for joining us today, Scott.
Oh, really excited to be here. Thanks, David.
Yeah, so dark skies, I know a fair amount about it. You and I have been working on some different dark skies lighting things for a couple of years now, I guess, what kind of things have you been working on lately that have been promoting dark skies?
Well, it's really exciting, actually, what's happening in the wider region. I live near Ontario, and I've been working with the Village of Ontario, working with the Village of Lafarge, now working with Westby and with Cashton, and, of course, some of the folks might know what's already happening in Viroqua in terms of looking at using different fixtures that give great performance for light on the ground where we need it, but also provide zero uplight and very warm color temperatures to minimize the environmental harm that artificial light at night can cause.
Okay.
Lots of great stuff going on.
Yeah, boy, and when you just list out all those communities, it is, most of the towns around, I'm in Viroqua, but most of the towns around us, it feels like you're saying are doing things, or at least looking at things.
Yeah, really doing things. In Ontario, I've installed probably 60 light fixtures since April, all of them at 1,800 Kelvin. Which, for those of your listeners who don't know what that means, the color of light, so nothing to do with the amount of light, but strictly the color of light is measured in units of Kelvin.
Okay.
And you see that on light bulb boxes. You see it on fixtures when you buy it. The vast majority of fixtures you're going to see these days are still 4,000 Kelvin, which has a lot of blue in it.
Okay.
It causes a lot of scatter. It's the worst in terms of environmental impact. So what we're doing is installing 1,800 Kelvin fixtures, and we'll shortly be installing 2,200 Kelvin fixtures for streetlights that have much, much less sky glow impact and impact species less, because the vast majority of species are more sensitive to blue spectrum than other spectrum.
Okay. You know, and I think one of the examples that I think of about that is growing up and driving for 45 years. I remember seeing cars coming at me, and everybody had the kind of the whatever the standard headlight was back, 40 years ago. It was kind of a yellowish color. And then LEDs came along, and now you got the bright blue headlights, I would say.
Yep.
And the amount of, I don't want to say eye pain, but the glare and the, a car is coming towards me, and I actually have to look away, which is the worst thing that you want to happen, because it is so painful and bright on your eyes, right? Which it never used to be.
It's exactly the same analogy, and some of that for the cars, it's a combination of brightness, which is lumens coming out of those headlights,
but
a large part of it is the color temperature of the light itself.
Okay.
Most headlights on cars are 5,500 Kelvin and higher, so they have a lot of blue content, which scatters and causes more glare, and that's why so many people, in fact, every talk I give, at least one person brings up headlights, so it's a very common thing, and the same exact principle applies to the lighting we're putting up at night now. In our communities, it's 4,000 Kelvin, 5,000 Kelvin, except in these locations like the Kickapoo Valley Reserve, which is now all 1,800 Kelvin. The park in Lafarge is 1,800 Kelvin. Fire station, church, post office, wastewater plant in Ontario, all 1,800 Kelvin.
Wow.
I'm doing a project in Wilton that I'll be doing in September to replace the lights in the campground and park there at 1,800 Kelvin. I'm doing a project in Norwalk right now for a senior housing facility, which those lights will be 2,200 Kelvin for the most part. And then I also mentioned, I think, Cashton, Westby, and Lafarge. There we're going to do mock-ups, basically five street lights in each community on one street at 2,200 Kelvin, with fixtures that have incredible paybacks because of incentives that are available right now.
Okay, to change the lights out and they're more energy efficient and...
Correct, yeah, much more energy efficient. So the paybacks, because of these incredible incentives... and because these 2,200 Kelvin fixtures are now listed and qualified for these incentives, which wasn't true just 3-4 months ago, the payback in places can be measured in 4 and 5 months, right?
Oh, my gosh.
Less than a year to pay back, and the fixtures have a 10-year warranty. So it's, as many people have told me, the Focus on Energy guy says, it's a no-brainer. Other people said, well, that's a no-brainer. It truly is a no-brainer. And
yeah.
We have a huge positive impact on light pollution and still get fantastic paybacks.
So do you ever get any pushback? You just described whatever you said, 60 lights that you've installed here, somewhat recently.
Since April.
Yeah, but are there any complaints, I guess, about the amount of light, the quality of light, the I don't say the brightness of the light or anything like that, or are people generally pretty pleased with how they're working?
I fully expected to have people push back on 1800 Kelvin because it's a very golden color.
Okay.
Very, very warm color. Not what we're used to seeing. And so I really expected pushback, and I was prepared for that because the fixtures I'm installing are all adjustable. They can be adjusted from 1800 to 2200 to 2700 Kelvin.
Okay, yep.
I'm putting dimmers in all of them. Nobody has said anything other than positive remarks.
Wow, that's fantastic.
It's amazing to me that all the responses have been positive. I think people, you know, when you don't realize what's possible, you accept what you're given. And now we have a much, much better alternative, and people are like, I like that a lot better.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, that's such great news, though, that people are open to it and actually it sounds like actually liking it better.
Yeah, actually, that's what's the most amazing thing. I mean, one of the things I'll tell you is that one of the installations we did in Lafarge, what I've tried to do is to make sure we don't create a situation where people are not happy with the lighting we install.
Mm-hmm.
And so in most places, I shouldn't say most, in many places, I'm installing the same amount of light on the ground that was there before. Even if that amount of light is much, much higher than what the Illuminated Engineering Society standards would be, standards that I would design to if I was starting a new facility. So I'm matching those light levels but making the lighting warmer. But several places where I installed dimmers for them and we dimmed them way down, they're much happier with that lower level of light and a much warmer color temperature. So I think when people see what's possible, and that's really what's exciting about these streetlight installations in these various communities, is once you see it, then you can decide for yourself, and everybody that's seen it so far likes it better.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and it is a pretty amazing story that you're able to get the same amount of light on the ground or the same amount of illumination, and at the same time, it's better for birds and better for insects, better for plants, better for people, better for your own vision to be able to see without squinting and the glare from those blue lights you were describing.
Yeah,
and you can save money, and 5 months later, it's paid off, and you're actually dollars ahead. I mean, it is a pretty astonishing story that, you know, so often there's whatever, a technological change or advantage to do something, but, oh, it's expensive, or oh, it's got this downside or this whatever. And I don't know of a downside to this.
Well, that's the really interesting thing about it. And I should just clarify for you, that really, really short payback is limited to this streetlight project, where there's these really large focus energy incentives available to municipal owners of streetlights.
Okay.
So, for example, the Ontario Fire Station, the payback there was 2 years and 8 months, right? It's less than a 3-year payback.
Yeah.
So that's a longer payback, but still a very quick payback. And a lot of paybacks I'm doing are less than 2 years, but that really extraordinary example is where we've got existing streetlights that are high-pressure sodium, which is high-pressure sodium is very good in terms of color temperature because it has very, very little blue content.
Okay.
But, of course, most of those fixtures throw light to the sky as well, right? They have some uplight factor, which the new LEDs, most of them, don't have. And LEDs are more efficient, and they last longer. So the energy efficiency gains and those big incentives are what allows that streetlight conversion to be such a quick payback. But even where we're converting high-pressure sodium and 5,000 Kelvin older LEDs that are, say, 6-7 years old, which are not as efficient, and when they're not shielded, meaning when they're showing out all this glare and all this uplight, we can still get paybacks that are less than 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So, yeah.
That is so great. And what you just said reminded me of something else, that, you know, the uplight versus being strictly pointing down with zero uplight.
Yep.
So I often think about that for every photon of electricity or of light that's generated, and it's going, you know, whether it's a light bulb or light fixture or something, Every photon of light that's going straight up into the sky to illuminate nothing, right? There's nothing up there.
Yep.
Somebody paid for. Somebody paid for the electricity. It's going up there. It's harming birds and insects and people and plants and all that other stuff. Makes it impossible to see the stars. And somebody's paying for that for those features, or if you want to call them that, right? So just by making it a zero uplight, just putting a shield over the top and having it focused down anyway. You can put all of that electricity into generating light that where we want it, where we're walking, where we want to be safe, where we want to see the sidewalk or whatever.
Right.
It is, I mean, it's great science and great technology that we're able to do that now.
It is, really. I mean, here's an example. In Lafarge, there are very decorative, what are called acorn lights, that are high-pressure sodium right now. And those fixtures, have 55% uplight, which for those who don't know yet what uplight is, if you went to the pole, went to the top of the pole right below the fixture head and put a piece of paper right there, 55% of the light is going above that piece of paper and doing nothing. No benefit to anybody except harm, right?
Right.
It's creating sky glow. It's interfering with nature. Only 45% of that light actually comes down. So when you can change that fixture out for one that has zero uplight, right, automatically your energy savings is 55% right off the bat.
Yeah.
So it's not hard to save energy doing things the right way. It's just that people haven't, I think, been given the opportunity, especially with color temperature, right? They're, most LEDs used for parking lots, I'd say 99% of LEDs used for parking lots and streetlights are zero uplight fixtures.
Okay.
They aren't always installed in such a way that they're zero uplight, because if they're tipped up at all, that increases sky glow. But they're built, most of them, as zero uplight fixtures. But most of them are built with 4,000 Kelvin color temperatures. If you were going to buy a 4,000 Kelvin and you decided to buy a 2,200 Kelvin instead, you'd lower the sky glow, changing nothing else, by 45%.
Change
nothing else, not the amount of light, not the fixture, nothing about it. Just change the color from 4,000 to 2,200 Kelvin, because that blue light scatters so much in the atmosphere, just like it does in the day, the same thing happens at night. That's why the sky is blue. Ray light scattering is a result of that. So.
Wow. You know, and I know a lot of people come, you know, we have a pretty big tourist trade, or we're known for tourism, and a lot of the reason that people come here is because you can get out into the countryside and be able to see stars and be able to, you know, see a night universe, a night area around us. And the more and more and more lights that we have that are just illuminating up reduces that ability. So not just for visitors, but it's good, I just think, for everybody to not have a lot of that light just going straight up into the sky and doing nothing.
Absolutely. And actually, what you just mentioned is what triggered my going down the rabbit hole on color temperature about 2 years ago, because we had proposed a dark sky park made up of Wildcat Mountain, Kickapoo Valley Reserve, and the Tunnelville Cliffs property. And we'd done all the things we needed to do, and we're taking sky glow measurements as we made those changes. And sky was getting brighter and brighter and brighter, and such that in a 30-month period, it got 57% brighter over the proposed park.
Wow.
And I was absolutely baffled by that. I wasn't taking the measurements, and frankly, I thought the guy taking them was wrong. It turns out he was right with his measurements. It's just that Ontario changed out streetlights from high-pressure sodium to LED. Lafarge changed out streetlights from high-pressure sodium to LED. Many other businesses and individuals changed out fixtures to LED in the areas around us. And as a result of that change, with all that extra blue content, that's why the sky got so much brighter. That's the reason why.
Okay.
And there have been studies done, Schlang County, Washington, the one I often cite, the same thing was done there. The street lights were changed from high pressure sodium in the county to LEDs at 3 and 4K, and the sky over that national park got 60% brighter. So the only way we're going to prevent that from happening, because we want to go to LEDs for energy efficiency and longevity and better uniformity, there's all these good reasons to do it, but the only way we can do that without creating tremendous harm is to stay at least 2200 Kelvin in color, and preferably even lower. And then, of course, put the right amount of light, right? That's why I put dimmers in all these fixtures, because almost every installation I've looked at to retrofit, if I look at the standards and look at what's installed, they've got much more light than what they need per the standard. Universally true.
Okay.
So we've got the opportunity to use a warmer color temperature, to use the right amount of light. Ideally, we control it. There are more sophisticated controls available all the time so it can dim down at certain hours or shut off entirely at certain hours, or motion sensors, those kind of things. But if you're going to pick one thing to do, choose a warmer color temperature. And then the next thing to do would be, say, let's cut the amount of light down, right? If you do both those things, you can have a tremendous impact on sky glow. I mean, I'm reducing sky glow in these places by 80 to 90% by doing those two things.
Wow. Hey, has there been a technology change, and maybe it's even just a technology change to a price point, I guess, I'm not sure, that has happened over the last couple of years that's enabling some of this? I mean, 2 years ago, could we be having the same discussion, or is it now we can do it and it's cheaper and they're more available and there's more sizes and shapes and adjustability, or has it always been like this?
It has not always been like this.
Okay.
So really, it is just in the last 2 years, Cooper Lighting, and I don't have any financial stake in any of this, but Cooper Lighting was the leader in producing warmer color temperature fixtures. They produced 2,200 K fixtures. A town in Massachusetts north of Boston was the first one, I think, to use them at 2,200 K. And they still are at the forefront of the vast array of fixtures that they sell, and wall-mounted parking lot lights, area lights for street lights, all those things at 2,200 K. But the other big change is that Leadvance, also known as Sylvania, in February released into the United States a new product. That's what I've been installing so many of, at 1,800 Kelvin, right, which is a new watermark for widely available 1,800 K, and those wall-mounted fixtures cost $95. My cost is $95 on them. So they're and they have a five-year warranty. So they're, you know, very energy efficient. They're 1,800 K. They're dimmable. You can set the power levels. That technology what's enabling us to go to these warmer color temperatures. That did not exist in some cases even months ago.
Wow. It's very cool. I got to say, because I can remember talking to you and John Heasley I bet it's been 3 years ago. And it felt like there was maybe some opportunities, but just that it didn't feel like technology was quite there yet. And boy, to be talking to you now, I mean, with the number of choices you have and the competition that's keeping prices lower and, the variety of, the mountings and the shapes and the colors and it's fantastic.
It is. And the other thing that's happening is for residential fixtures, especially, all my work is commercial and industrial work. That's what I do. My career is a consulting engineer, but also the work I'm trying to work with here is to have change at scale. I'm working at those opportunities. But for residential people, for your own home, now you can go into Nelson Hardware, for example. You can go into Menards. You can go into Home Depot. You can go into Lowe's and buy lamps to put into your existing fixtures that are 2,100 Kelvin, 2,200 Kelvin, or they're smart bulbs that are adjustable with an application to go down as low as 2,200 Kelvin. Those weren't available a year ago. Right? So you have to look for them still. If you look at the wall of lamps in Nelson Ag Center or any other store, right, what you're going to find is 99% are going to be 4,000 Kelvin, maybe quote-unquote daylight lamps, 5,000 Kelvin, maybe some 3,000, maybe some 2,700 K. But there are these really warm lamps available now, including some from GE, which is now called Current, which you won't find in the store shelves, but you can order, which are HID, high-intensity discharge replacement lamps, screw-in lamps, both standard-based and mogul-based, that are also adjustable in color temperature from 1,800 to 2,200 to 2,700 K, and adjustable in output. So the opportunity, as you just mentioned, technology, yes, the technology is advancing so quickly, and it's all moving in the right direction. I've spoken to the North American president for Nichia, which is the largest LED chip manufacturer, and he shared with me how their color temperature sales have changed over the years, right? Huh. It used to be 5,000 K was the number one, then it was 4,000 K was number one. Now 3,000 K is almost number one, and these warmer colors that are now available are starting to come into the market. So the trend is in the right direction.
Yeah.
And what we're trying to do is the Kickapoo Valley Dark Sky Initiative, what I'm trying to do when I talk to all these folks is accelerate that trend. I'm confident it's going to happen. And what I don't want people to do is to buy an LED fixture today that's going to last them 10 years and buy it at 3,000 K or 4,000 K and then go, 5 years from now, boy, I wish I would have bought that thing a lot warmer.
Yeah.
Right? So I think that's what I'm trying to let people know is there's huge opportunities here to pick a fixture now that's going to last you for a decade that will do the right thing for that decade as opposed to creating more harm for the same time period.
Hey, so something else you mentioned that sticks in my head. You mentioned something about a daylight, a fixture that makes something look like daylight. What is? I'm not sure what the term that you used. But I can remember going into Menards, probably 20 years ago, and looking for light bulbs that said that they were, the color of them was like daylight, basically.
Yeah.
Because I always thought that, that's what makes the colors the most real, the most accurate of everything that the light is illuminating. And I thought, I want very accurate colors, whether it's in my house or wherever, and buying those daylight color bulbs, I guess you would call it. And
right.
Now I've come to understand that that's very, very blue. There's a lot of blue in that. So when you're talking about these LEDs that are 1,800 or 2,200 Kelvin, the more amber-colored ones, do they make everything look yellow or orange or red?
That's the remarkable thing about it. They don't. So the term what you're describing is what in the industry is called color rendering.
Okay.
There's a color rendering index, or CRI, and it's quite astonishing that you look at the 1800 Kelvin fixtures. I've taken lots of images of these fixtures testing security cameras, because that's another concern people had was how are security cameras going to look?
What
are the images going to look? So I did a lot of testing with a security consultant. We tested 7 different cameras from 4 different manufacturers. At these very warm color temperatures and at very, very low light levels, they performed incredibly well. And the color rendering is amazing. I mean, the color rendering index, even for these 1800 Kelvin fixtures, which to the eye look very golden, right? It's a very golden-looking light. But if you put that on a board that has all the colors on it, you get color rendering that's 78 or almost 80, which is very, very high, right? And so most specifiers, engineering specifiers, would say for outdoor lighting, you want a CRI of 70 or above.
Okay.
A rare person might say 80. Well, these fixtures at 1800K still satisfy that standard. So,
yeah.
And definitely at 2200K. So, yeah, you don't have to sacrifice color rendering at all with these warm LEDs. You really don't.
So you can still, if this were in a parking lot, you could still go out and find whatever, your green car or your yellow car or your red car, and it's still going to look green, yellow, or red. It's not going to be
Absolutely.
A weird, you know, everything's going to look sort of whatever.
Gray and tan.
Because
high-pressure sodium lights have a color rendering index of 20.
Okay.
I've got images of that, too. So they have a very, very poor color rendering index. And so because they're a very warm color temperature, they're like 1900 Kelvin, roughly, and people would think an 1800 Kelvin LED, well, it's the same color.
Yeah, it's going to be horrible, right?
Yeah, you'd assume the rendering would be the same, but in fact, it's not. And I can't tell you how that works, but it does work.
Yeah.
You know, the way they've got the spectrum mixed to get these warm colors, and have all the positive impacts on not so much sky glow and still get great color rendering. It's pretty amazing, honestly.
That is, I mean, it is fantastic that science is able to deliver on that for us.
Yes.
And save us money. And let us be good to nature and the dark skies and the birds and the...
Our neighbors.
Yeah. And our neighbors. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point for all the people around us that don't want to squint and look at dark or bright blue lights
bright
all the
blue
time.
Lights. Yep.
Yeah. Well, that's great. So so you're doing stuff in Ontario, and you mentioned, I think, Lafarge, and you mentioned a bunch of them. Any specific projects, or is this, like, I don't want to say piecemeal, but just smaller sections of a town, or...?
Smaller sections of a town, because my goal here is to get these installed in as many locations as possible. So I'm working statewide. I've given a couple webinars. Working statewide, because these incentives are available through the end of the year, I'm talking to folks in Baraboo. I'm talking to folks in Two Rivers and other places about installing the same kind of fixtures that we're looking at, what we're going to be installing, because I've got them already, in Cashin and Westby and Elroy and Lafarge, is, again, just because my experience has been once people see them, they like them and they want them. So I want to get that. I'm not worried about doing the whole town on day one. I just want to get people to go see them, and they can decide for themselves. But I feel like it's super low risk for me because everybody who's seen them likes them.
Yeah. So. Man, that's great. And I know you mentioned Westby in there. So they had their big street project. I guess it finished this year. I was going to say last year, but it finished up here this spring, not very many months ago. And I've driven through there at night a number of times. And I get, from a driver's perspective, I just think the lighting in downtown, you know, with the those new lights on that roadway seem fantastic. Would you say from a, you know, lighting engineer and dark skies advocate position that that's a good installation?
I would say for a state highway, it's the best I've ever seen.
Oh, wow.
And that's because of the fact they use these very low glare fixtures with those broad shields on them. And so when you're driving down that street, even coming from the south, you're going uphill a little bit, you do not see these glaring lights in your eyes.
Right.
You're very close to the fixtures. And coming from the north, you see no glare whatsoever. So they're fantastic from that standpoint. And I think the lighting amount is correct, too. I'm sure it's right because they are designed by a lighting engineer and it has to meet DOT standards, right? So we know their light amount is right. The only bone I would have to pick with them is the fact that they're 3,000 Kelvin instead of something lower. But the standard for DOT is 4,000 Kelvin.
Okay.
So, you know, they're much better than 4,000 Kelvin. In fact, they're the same thing that we put in Ontario as streetlights that I worked very hard to convince Alliant Energy to do with 3,000 Kelvin. Before I knew that even at 3,000 Kelvin, we're going to make the light, make the sky 50% more bright.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So when you go from a fixture that has uplight to maybe a lower lumen level and a shielded fixture, that's all very, very positive. But I think the next step really is to let people see 2,200 Kelvin and lower. Go to the Kickapoo Valley Reserve and see 1,800K. Soon we'll be able to see 2,200K in several communities and decide for yourself what you think of it. But if we do that, that has a major impact on sky glow, huge impact on sky glow.
Yeah. Yeah, and I got to say, just driving through Westby, I mean, it's good to hear that. Because as I'm driving through there at night, I don't feel... limited by the amount of light that's on the road surface. I mean, it feels way very adequate, if not better. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't even. It's not like I go, oh man, I bet this is great for the birds, but it sucks for me. I mean, it is. I just go through there and I go, yeah, this is great. I don't have any a single quibble with it as far as a driving, you know, perspective. Yeah. So,
and that's because of the uniformity. So I know that it meets the standards because it's a state highway and they had to meet the standards. But the beauty of it is when you have the fixtures that are that shielded from your direct glare view, the uniformity improves, it's just so much more comfortable to experience that light. And you can see so much better than if you have really a lot of glare in your eye, just like the headlight example you started with, right? Driving down the road, if you got a bright headlight shining in your face, that's all you can see. You can't see anything else.
Right.
And the same applies every time you apply lighting, no matter what the application is. The same thing is exactly true.
Yeah. Oh, man. I mean, you give me a lot of hope. I mean, both on the technology side, and I'm an engineer myself, so I love it when technology can actually deliver for people in a good way, but also from the financial perspective and from the amount of stuff that you just described. I mean, the number of communities you're working with statewide, not even, and a lot of them, of course, around here, which is great. Thank you for that.
Yep.
But across the entire state, I mean, there just feels like there is good stuff happening all over the place and on this topic, and it's so great to hear.
There's so much momentum, not just from work I'm doing, but you know, nationwide there are many, many people who are discovering the same things and moving in the same direction. It's just now that we have the choices, like you said, from the technology, people realize, and the research continues to pile up about all the negative impacts of these very blue LEDs and too bright and too much glare, and those two, the intersection of those two things really makes this the perfect time to be attempting to do the things that we're trying to do. It's the perfect timing.
So how can people, I guess, stay up to date with you, with what you're doing and Kickapoo Valley Dark Sky Initiative and the latest presentations you're giving and projects you're working on? Is there a Facebook or website? What's the best way that you recommend, other than listening to the radio station here? But
yeah, well, we have a Facebook page for the Kickapoo Valley Dark Sky Initiative, but I think the best way is to go to the website we have, which is www.4darkskies.org. So that's the number 4, darkskies, SKIES.org. That's the place where I'm trying to keep, for example, fixture lists up to date.
Oh, great.
Lamp lists up to date. So I spend more time trying to keep that information up to date than I do posting on Facebook anymore, because we created that website a few months ago.
Okay.
Had great help from Mary Fitzwater creating the website for us. So that's a great source for people to use and to follow up on. And then, of course, if you were to join the organization through that, we can keep you posted that way as well.
That's great. Okay, so 4darkskies.org. That's great.
Yep.
Well, Scott,
I want to type in the www, because we're still so new that it might take you to a movie called Dark Skies.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being on with us today. Man, I feel so hopeful on this topic, which is great. It's nice to have a topic where there's a lot of good stuff going on, and I appreciate you so much for all the work you're doing and for coming on here and talking to us about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the opportunity.
All right. Thank you, Scott.
All right. So long.
Bye-bye.
Bye.